Grow My Cleaning Company teaches owners of cleaning companies just like you how to grow your company, make more money, and finally take charge of your financial future and your life. This podcast is about automating and creating systems that give you time and money freedom so you can grow like crazy without losing control. Since this is totally free, if you're getting tons of value, want to support us and make sure that you get more of the good stuff, subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast today. Now, on to the show.
I think we're officially live. Welcome everybody that's on. Today we have someone super special. His name, believe it or not, is Brian Kaup, or John Brian, or Brian John, or John Brian. But it's not Mary Grace Kaup, as it says on his thing. I don't know why it says that, but it's got your wife's name.
It was plugged into her Facebook, and I don't know computers enough to figure it out, or I don't want to know computers enough to figure it out, I guess.
All I know is I remember your wife to be much better looking than what I'm seeing now, and with a much higher voice. Yeah. A lot less facial hair than I remember, but you know, hey, I'm not perfect. And it says zero viewers, which I know is not the case. So I don't know. Hopefully you guys are there because usually I like to interact with the audience. Yeah. Oh, now all of a sudden it went from zero to sevens. So either everybody jumped out of the wrong at the same time, or this stupid BeLive platform isn't perfect, which I'm going to go with that one. All right. So today we're talking with someone super special. Brian is probably the guy that's the most picked on guy in our group that wasn't Canadian. And I don't know about you guys, but I always pick on the one that is my favorite. And I really enjoyed hanging out with Brian and get to know him personally. And I thought it would be a crime if I didn't introduce him to you guys. So before we jump into Brian's story and kind of where he was and all the amazing things he's done and why he's amazing now and all that good stuff, I will just shut up for 10 consecutive seconds and let him introduce himself. So Brian, talk to the world. What's shaking?
Not a whole lot. Just live in Mooresville, North Carolina, co-owner of Trinity Commercial Cleaning with my wife. Originally from Nebraska. I think there's five people from the whole state. But we moved from Nebraska. I moved from Nebraska, and people always ask me why. And I said, well, have you ever been there? You know, it's so far you can watch your dog run away for 3 days. So, and got into the cleaning industry after the military and after some time in college, and not really an industry I would have ever seen myself going into, but I absolutely love it. And it's been incredible. It's a really great way to serve the community.
You know, it's so funny. I've known you for months now, and I did not know you're in the military. What branch?
I was Air Force.
Air Force. Whoa, the smart guys, not the, you know, I would be like a, you know, Army or Marine, or like, you know, pull that stump out of the ground kind of branch, not the the thinking we soar through the air branch. Hello, Prestige Shine Janitorial. We welcome. Good to see you, man. All right. So, or lady, I guess that was somewhat sexist of me. I don't know why Prestige Shine Janitorial sounds like a guy. Oh, it's because all the dudes are janitorial and all the ladies are maid service. And that's not sexist. That's just my experience. All right. So let's dive into John's story. And I'm sorry, I will call him John Brian intermittently, because when we first had our call, I don't know if you introduced yourself one way or you had a middle. Let's just share the story. Why do I call you John Brian? What is your actual name that you prefer to be called? And why do I have two for you in my mind?
Yeah, I go by Brian. My dad and I have the same first name, and he got yelled at a lot more than I did growing up. So I just went by my middle name.
Okay, so John's the actual name. Brian is the name you prefer, and John Brian is my favorite name for you.
Well, my parents called me John Brian, and I was like, I don't have two first names, but anyway.
Good. So I can assume if you're like me, when I call you John Brian, like, crap, I'm in trouble. Dad, is that you? Have I been bad?
Yeah, I start really paying attention. So that's how you got me to sign up for your program. You called me John Brian. I was like, crap, I got to do it. He's
John Brian. Take some. Oh, crap. Okay, I'll do it, Dad. What a boss, whatever, Mike. Yeah. Well, glad I could psychologically take advantage and leverage like a terrible human being. And Prestige apparently is a wife and husband team as well. Preach in the house, Prestige. All right. So, yeah, talk about I know where you're at now, and we'll absolutely get to that because that's the exciting part. But I've already forgotten because I've slept between now and then. Before we started working together, where were you at? What was working in your business? What wasn't working? Where were you stuck? What made you reach out? Share kind of where you were, because I'm guessing there'll be people on the broadcast going, that's me. I've been there.
Sure. Well, actually, the whole saga began on Thanksgiving Day. I was at my parents' house and didn't have a lot to do. So I was searching online about cleaning company and how to grow your cleaning company and different things like that, because I want to be a student of my company.
Natalie, write that down as possible copy headlines to attract people. If you're bored and have nothing to do, you might want to look at our crap because it's better than nothing. It's better than the back of a shampoo bottle. For all of you people old enough to remember not having a cell phone in the toilet. Anyway, or in the shower. Go ahead, man. Yeah, I went there. It just happened. Deal with it. And for posterity, he's talking about Thanksgiving. We are recording now in February. So that sounds like what, 5-6 months?
Actually, it was 2 Thanksgivings ago.
Oh, crap. Okay, so 18, yeah. 20 months. All right, continue.
Right. But I wanted to be a student of my company, you know, so I've always been looking at how do I continue to grow and to improve my company, because I know there's millions of people in the world that are a lot smarter than me. And so instead of trying to reinvent the wheel, I thought, well, let me see if there's somebody that's gone before me that I can learn from, because a teacher is just a student who's further along. And so I started Googling, how do I grow my cleaning company, or different things like that, you know, starting a cleaning company, whatever, even though I already had it. And that led me to your program. And I started doing some research on it and signed up for just the regular program, not the elite portion. And I was in that for about a year. And I kept telling my dad as I was reading through the modules and things, I was like, wow, this is gold. It's things that I feel like I could eventually learn on my own. So it's not like it's unbelievable. Nobody else has this information. I could eventually find it, but why spend 2, 5, 10 years or whatever struggling to find these answers that already exist? So I signed up for the regular program, worked for that for a while, and it definitely helped. I mean, last year, we doubled the size of the business in one.
Nice. Well, so real quick, we're absolutely going to dive into that. But just so everyone listening, so I get a bunch of emails, there is no regular program. We do not. The only way we allow people right now, back 2 years ago, we had John is unique, not unique, but rare in that very few people were able to just have the information without any support and get results. So I want to make this about me. It's absolutely about John, but I just want to eliminate all the emails of people reaching out. What's the regular program? How do I get it? Does it exist? We don't have it. John was grandfathered in because it happened 2 years ago. All right. So, sorry. Didn't mean to get off track. So you doubled your company. Where were you at? And that was without me. That was before we started working together, correct?
Yeah, that was just with the regular program. But I would agree 100% that the support made a huge difference. So
are you willing to share where you were either in revenue or employees or whatever metric, but just to give people an idea?
I bought the company July 2016. It was doing $180,000 in revenue a year. And
how many employees at that point?
12 to 17, something. I can't remember exactly.
Okay. 10, 15, yeah. Just an idea. Got it.
And as soon as I bought the company, we lost 4 accounts right away in the transition, and we went down to $70,000 a year, which was incredibly scary because the previous owner was owner financing it, and it was just a gentleman's handshake between he and I. There was not all sorts of legal stuff, and I had agreed to pay him $2,500 a month, and all of a sudden I didn't have $2,500 a month to pay him, and I was like, this sucks. You know,
this sucks would be an understatement if I'm guessing how you actually felt.
Right. And I also had a full-time job. So I was working full-time as a fabrication manager at a electrical company, and I was running this on the side with, you know, 12, 15 employees.
Because that's a big side hustle.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a lot, you know,
and a big nut that you owe this guy before you, and again, not judging your deal or saying it's right or wrong, but just the reality of before you get paid penny one, you got to run this company. Did you say $2,500 a month in profitability?
Correct. Correct.
Yeah. To get, and then if and when you make $2,500, $2,500, John sees his first nickel, which is, and you get a full-time job. That's a lot going on, buddy.
Right. Well, I didn't want to take any money from the company until I paid it off. So I was supporting my family on my full-time job and then running this on the side. But it got to the point where I never saw my family. And I married them. I didn't marry work. So that's not them. I married my wife. I don't want it to sound like I have multiple wives.
I've seen your wife. You're lucky to have the one. Don't get greedy.
Yeah, she didn't have her contact prescription refilled before marrying me. So that's how we got stuck with me. But yeah, now we through all those ups and downs, you know, I was able to incorporate what I've learned through the clean profit method, and we have now got to the point where we're doing 23,000 in recurring revenue a month.
That's awesome.
Which is incredible. And I'm with the company full time. And
when did you make that transition? Because we walk so many people. And just to be clear, Brian is super humble, so he's not going to say this, but I don't care. I will say it. I'm honored to have taken our little piece, a very small part, but Brian is bright. He's freaking coachable. He did the work. Coachable is probably the biggest, the number one word I would use to say Brian. So I certainly, we helped him, and I was honored to do that. But I just want you guys, everyone out there, to understand that Brian and you guys are the one that do the work. And the fact that he was so coachable and so committed and so resourceful and just committed to his result is what did it. So I just want to be super clear. No one's thinking like, oh, I give Mike money, I'll triple my business. Maybe we have a lot of those results, but that has nothing to do with it. If we work together, I can just make the fire that you've got go farther, faster. I can't put the fire there. I can't do any, I won't do any of the work for you. So I just want to, and again, Brian won't say that because he's a humble guy, but anyway, I just wanted to be super clear that you absolutely not one of the guys like, I'm going to fail if I don't have Mike's stuff. It was more, I'm on a good track. You can help me go farther, faster. And we just kind of put some wind in your already pretty impressive sales. So that said, keep going. Talk about that transition from going, having a full-time job and another side hustle with, you know, 10, 15 employees and $2,500 a month of debt you got to pay and all that too. Now you're, you know, much more employees, much more revenue, and it's full-time job paying for your family. You're supporting your family.
Sure. So June of this past year is when I went full-time. We got a contract that was worth $7,000 a month, and that allowed me to finally go full-time with the company. And I was super excited about it. And 2 months later, that company declared bankrupt.
I remember this.
And so that in one fell swoop cost my company $13,000. At the time, I was doing the work. My employees were doing the work, and we invoiced at the end of the month, and then they still had 30 days to pay. So even though we invoiced for around $7,000 a month, they still took a couple months to pay. So it was just compounding the issue and having cash flow problems with the company. But I was an infant in business. You know, I took this business on. The previous owner, he spent quite a bit of time talking me into buying it. And I wasn't interested at first, but he built it from the ground up and didn't want to give it to just anybody. And for some reason, he decided to sell it to me and talked me into it. And it's been very good. But that, all that saying, I didn't really know what I was getting into or what I was doing.
Real quick, before we gloss over that, because again, because it's 8-9 months in the rearview mirror, we can go, oh yeah, and I lost $13,000 to the company and moving on. I got to imagine at the time it was, for a lesser human being, that might have been it enough to throw in the towel. And also, just for everyone out there listening, I get a lot of, oh yeah, yeah, all my people pay. Yeah, they all pay until they don't. Right. The company that you had paid all their janitorial bills for the last 20 years or how long they've been. They only just declare bankruptcy once. So I just want to encourage folks going, oh, thank God that never happened to me. Well, let's take charge of that and make sure it doesn't happen to you, because, you know, everyone says the same thing, which is, my people pay. Like, I, you know, sometimes I have to shake them down and blah, blah, blah. And everybody pays until they don't. So anyway, just want to throw that out there when I've got the chance, because you can pay for your own tuition like Brian did, or you can be the smart guy and go, I'm going to listen from Brian's mistake as opposed to have to learn the hard way myself.
Yeah, it was super unfortunate. And I honestly, I have no idea how we survived it. Truth be told, grace, I guess. Cause we did not have $13,000 laying around, you know, I don't know what to tell you on how we survived it, but it was pretty miraculous. And so we were able to recover pretty quickly in a couple months. There was just a couple one-time jobs that came in. And so I had to work till 2-3 o'clock in the morning several times, stripping and waxing floors, doing odd jobs, hauling junk, whatever it took to get revenue coming back into my company so it wouldn't fail. Because failure is not an option to me. You know, being prior military, you have to have a level of confidence, because if you're not confident, there's no sense in even going into a war zone. You've already lost. And so there's a lot of truth to that in business. You know, you have to have confidence, and that confidence doesn't necessarily have to come from yourself. It can be confidence in a system or in processes or whatever the case may be. But in business, there has to be confidence that comes from somewhere. And so all these things combined to allow me to keep going and keep growing to where we recovered from that in a couple months, and we were able to get new clients coming in to where we're at, where we are now at $23,000 a month. And we, through your program, we updated our billing processes where everybody pays at the beginning of the month now, and everybody is profitable. We had to let a couple accounts go that were not profitable, which at first I even my language, it kind of sounds like I'm struggling with, like, oh, we had to let clients go. But it is such a mindset shift in that they're not making me money anyway. So I'm spinning my wheels and doing all this work for free. So why am I'm not letting them go. I'm setting myself free by not having to put up with them anymore. So I can focus on bringing money in to establish my company and give it a better footing to go forward in the future.
Yeah. For everyone out there taking notes, that might be a writer downer, is just because someone waves some amount of money at you does not mean they are qualified to be your customer. And in most cases, they're certainly not your ideal customer. So there's lots and lots and lots of ways that circumstances and scenarios where people could have money and be willing to give it to you and still not be an ideal customer, even worthwhile taking it. So, and again, a lot of that comes from the confidence of, I can get more customers. I have a system I'm following. I know. So a lot of things tie into that other than just only take the good customers. We got it. Well, we have to have a system to be able to get new customers and identify who is and isn't. But the short version of that is, just because they have money or willing to give it to you does not mean you should take them as a customer or keep them as a customer. Even if they've been giving you money and are willing to continue giving you money, that's a weird thing we have as business owners of, they're going to give me money, I have to take it, which is obviously not, well, I shouldn't say obviously not, but sometimes surprisingly not the reality. All right. So what was the easiest thing that we asked you to do in the program that got you the biggest results, and maybe people can get value from that? And what's the hardest thing that you fought most against that got you the best results within the program? So we can kind of give a couple pieces that you were able to do that maybe give some value to listeners.
Sure. Yeah, I would say the easiest thing is to come up with goals, because I'm a very goal-oriented person, and I already had several goals that I had been chewing on. So I would say that was pretty easy. It was a little difficult to cull them down into the most beneficial goals, let's say. And then I would say the hardest thing.
Well, let's real quick, because I want to make sure people are getting value. So I love that it's easy. And I remember our first call, you were 70% of the way there. It's not like we're starting from scratch and had to figure it out. You were kind of clear on the outcome, just maybe not as clear on the steps between here and there, or didn't have as specific as that. But how did that bring you and your company and your family value of taking the time to really clarify those goals and having those?
Actually, very concretely and with simple steps, writing them down. And that's one of the things you say in the module, which is very important. I had the goals in my head, but there's actually something about the system of writing them down and tracking and giving them an end date. Because mine were a little more ambiguous. I have 2-year, 5-year, 10-year goal. And these are the concrete steps I want to accomplish these goals. But it was a little different. So one of the biggest goals was, by February 1st, I want to be out of the field, because I have a son that is due to be born. And so We talked in December, and I got to admit, in the back of my head, I was thinking, man, am I really going to be able to get out of the field by February? Like, I'll put it down as a goal, but, you know, I may miss it by a month or two. And that's, I guess that was my hesitation in the back of my head, but I met the goal, you know, and you kept encouraging me to focus on those goals. And so that was one of the concrete goals that I was super excited.
And to end the story, so everyone knows, we're past February 1st, we're middle to end of February, and John is out of the field, and that baby did arrive. And boy, you and Mama Kelp sure do know how to make cute babies, man.
Yeah, mostly her. But.
Yeah.
There have been some handsome guys somewhere in my family tree because I don't know
where. Your great great grandfather was a handsome chap.
Yeah, he must dapper.
Jen's in the house. I don't know if Jen was in the same time as you do, but I remember Jen. She's so sweet. Her and her partner, I love them. She said she's had been a complete mind shift for her partner and she, and you don't feel frantic about taking money from just anyone who wants their home clean. Jen, it's a good thing you're way across the world, because I give you a big fat hug. That is absolutely right. And that confidence and is so powerful in terms of, I will get the clients that I want and that I'm meant to have and serve who I choose to serve and who I can best serve with my time and talent. And I don't have time for people that are rude or don't match my core values or aren't willing to pay or unable to pay, or there's a thousand reasons someone could be willing and able to suck my time and really handicap me or hamstring me from serving who I'm supposed to serve and do what I'm supposed to, what I was put on this planet to do. I get to get all those people out of the way and focus all my time on the folks I really am here to serve. All right. So the easy thing that got you a ton of value was clear goals, writing them down. And I don't have the study in front of me, but Harvard did a study over like 30, 40 years. And they found that people with goals were like the top 10%. And then the people that had written those goals down were the top 4% of those 10%. So writing them down makes a huge difference than when they're in your head. That's called a secret. When you write them down, those are actual goals that we can rally around. All right. So what's the hardest thing that you fought most against and didn't want to do, but actually got results? And this is really just so I can play it back for my wife when she thinks I know nothing. I'm like, see, John thinks I'm right.
Oh, well, since you prefaced it with that, I can't really think of anything.
I don't stick it to me. Not that I don't have it coming.
Right. All jokes aside, probably changing the billing, because I was really worried that even though it wasn't the most ideal system, I was still getting money. And so there's kind of a safety net in doing what you know. You know, if you want to make an enemy, make someone change. So
that's why I have so many enemies. I knew it was something.
Right. And so, like, even though this wasn't perfect, it worked kind of. But man, there's some freedom in saying no. You know, this is my company. I'm allowed to set things up the way they need to be for me, and people can either accept that, or I can invite them to use another cleaning company that's willing to continue struggling like I used to. You know, I've now been on both sides. I've been on the struggling side where I've had to call and follow up for money and different things like that. Now, after pulling that Band-Aid off, even though it sucked and was really hard and I was scared that everybody was going to quit, they're still around. And now I have money coming in between the first and the fifth day of every month. And so I only have a couple days where I have to look at the financials, and the rest of the time I get to focus on other things, which is great. You know, instead of spending a whole 30 days wondering like, oh my gosh, is this check going to come in so that we can meet payroll? Because we always had enough money coming in to meet payroll, but at the end of the month, we were still owed $4,000 or $5,000 every month. And
which was your profit, because you paid everybody else, and the cow right. family is the last to get paid. So that money that you're owed, even if it's a little bit, that's 100% of your profit off of the times. Oh, I think John's frozen. I blew him away with my words. I will give you 2 seconds to come back. Jason Johnson in the house. Oh, and John's back.
I'm here. Yeah.
All right, cool. So yeah, I was just saying that oftentimes, even if it's like, hey, you know, we coach to a 20% net profit, and if 20% of your money doesn't come in, well, that's all of your net profit is, you know, on loan to some customer that typically has a lot more money than you. So where you are now, I want to make sure I've got it, spit it back, so we're not saying things that aren't true, or I'm not hearing things that aren't the reality. What I hear you saying is before, certainly you were able to make payroll, and it's not like you were, well, when someone doesn't pay $14,000, I'm sure that put you in an emergency mode, but you're able to recover from that. And as long as you didn't have big hiccups like that, you were okay. Whereas now, before the fifth of the month, you've got 20 grand in your bank account without any effort, headache, or work.
Yeah, I wouldn't say we were completely okay. I'd say now we are, but I wouldn't say we were completely okay, because there was several times I'd come home at night and I'd tell my wife, like, what the heck am I doing? Why am I in this company? Why am I working this hard? And we're still struggling to pay our own bills. Like, we have a boat ton of money coming in every month, but I never see it, and I'm still struggling. And that was tough. That was really tough. And there was a couple times I thought, man, I ought to just sell this blasted thing and get out of it. But that wasn't the correct answer. The correct answer was find what's broken and fix it, you know? And so with changing the billing and following the modules with that, and then also seeing the customer profitability spreadsheet of having the 50% cost of goods sold, the 30% overhead and 20% profit. We got all of our clients in line with that now. And that just gives us so much more breathing room to allow us to show up. Like they have these little bundt cakes that they sell in our area that are just so delicious. You got to go eat them in a corner by yourself.
You don't have to, John. That's just you.
But I take those to my clients, and I may buy a dozen for myself on the way. But now I can do stuff like that. And that's the part I enjoy about the business is I'm a very social person. So I get to go interact with my clients. I get to interact with my employees instead of sitting at my desk worrying about the financials and worrying about, am I going to meet payroll or, you know, when are things going to come in? So it's I can have fun again.
Yeah. I can have fun again. I would say that's probably it's so funny watching John. He is such a cool kind of fun is a big part of his personal life. And there's nothing sadder than seeing someone that's got that personality just having it snuffed out from their business when it could be, if you run it properly, something that business actually adds to the fun and you can add fun to other people's lives and you actually enjoy the customers and the employees. But when you're broke, all that's off the table. Or for me, I don't know how to have fun when I'm broke. If I can't pay bills, that is not fun for me.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And especially, you know, if I was still a single guy, I wouldn't worry about it too much because I'm resourceful and figure it out. But, you know, I have a wife and two little boys to support now. And so that
one very little boy,
really, really tiny 8-pound little boy.
Yeah. So one thing I want to hit before we move on, and I'll let Brian kill it or end it. But you said something I want to make sure I point out, because I've been there and I would almost guarantee 30-40% of the people that have been in business over a couple of years have been there. You know, hey, I was so frustrated with my business. There were many times where I was like, should I just sell this freaking thing? Like I bought it to be a blessing and make my life better. And certainly today it ain't better. It's worse. And I hate it. And I don't want it anymore. And the paradox of that is, almost 100% of the time I felt like I wanted to sell my business was the wrong time. That's a great time to sell it wholesale and take any, you know, some hobo will give me a nickel and a hug. And I'm like, okay, can I get that shiny button? It's a deal. you'll take it though, right? I can stop answering the phone and deal with all these headaches. Out, I'm gone, whatever. I will pay. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, we hold out. We're negotiating strong. It's in the back of our mind, but we don't say that yet. We're holding out for that shiny button. So that's the worst time to do it. And then, of course, paradoxically, the best time to sell is when you're like, I freaking love this business. I love coming into work. I love the people. I feel like there's so much opportunity. I would never want to get rid of this. So I really want to encourage you, if and when you feel like I've got to get out of this thing, it makes me miserable, it's killing me, this isn't what I bought, just like Brian did, get resourceful and get out of the I'm stupid, this business is stupid. You know, having coached hundreds if not thousands of folks in the cleaning area, I can tell you there's money to be made. So it ain't the business. We'll start there. It may be you, but 9 times out of 8, it's not you. It's the system that you've been using is the wrong system, or you've got the right system and you're not following it, right? Nothing is my least favorite when someone's like, I love your podcast. I've listened to every episode. I've done everything. We talked for 6.5 minutes. Their business is a mess. I haven't done a blessed thing. So really, if you've got some issues, as opposed to, I guess if you're just emotionally that beat up and you're done, you got to do what you got to do. But I would encourage you to reframe that to, I've been using the wrong system, or I've been not following the right system, or some combination. So it's not me. It's not the business. It's just, I took this action. I got this result. I'm going to take that action and get that result and really seek out a system that is proven and you believe is going to work. Spoiler, follow that system. And it doesn't have to be mine, right? I'm not trying to sell my thing, but you do need a system, right? Find someone that's done it. You want someone better looking and less of a pain in the neck than me, that's fine. But find somebody that's done it ideally repeatedly and has got other folks he or she's helped do that. And then pay them, love them, hug them, do whatever they need to do to help you get that information and follow that system. And then if and when you are ever going to sell, when you're loving life and killing it, that's when you go, hey, if I'm going to sell that, now's when I want to sell it. Not because I'm angry or stressed out or whatever. I just want to pursue some other things. And having sold a couple seven-figure businesses and had those same seven-figure businesses been virtually worthless, and I would have died to get out of there. I was just so sick of them. And then being able to kind of look at the system I was using, that can be a several hundred thousand dollar decision or commitment, or million or multi-million dollar decision and commitment, if you're willing to do the work. So, all right, let's end it with you just telling us where you're at today. Give us an update of your business, you, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and we'll call it a day.
Well, real quick, before I even do that, I just want to point out something else that isn't really talked about with your program too much, but that's the other business owners in the program and the fact that we get to interact with each other. Even though I haven't met these people face to face, they're awesome. You know, I talked to one gentleman, Andrew, who's up in Montana or somewhere like that.
Andrew's literally going to be on the next broadcast. I'm almost positive. No, that's not true. The 12th, March 12th, we're going to do Andrew, but he'll be on. He is awesome. Didn't mean to step on you, but no worries. I get excited about Andrew. Yeah, go ahead.
And I bounced some questions off of him and said, hey, you know, you're in commercial as well. What would you do in this situation? And Mary, who was on last Thursday, you know, I put Mary. A Facebook post up saying, hey, can somebody give me advice? And she contacted me and said, give me a call. I'll help you. And I think that's one of the most valuable things about the program as well, is the fact that I get to meet other business owners, that are willing to help me, who's still an infant in business. And so then when other people ask questions and I'm like, oh, I know the answer to that one. Finally, you know,
I can help. Yeah.
Then I want to also do my part, you know, and it's just a great sense of community. So I really wanted to touch on that, because that's a huge part of your program that I truly cherish and look forward to continuing.
I could not agree more in that. And again, that community is really important. And I love our community, of course, but it's not about our community. It's about the right community and people that are. And sure. I spend dozens of hours, probably hundreds over months, sussing out the right people, not inviting the right people. And you're right. And the cool thing is, I'm just like you, right? When we do the calls and I get to interact with the Facebook group, I'm like, it's not just, oh, this jerk that gave me money that I'm stuck serving. I love the people that I work with. And I'm okay with saying you are not a fit to most, certainly more than half of the people I talk to. And then I can charge enough and be there present enough and get enough results for the folks in my life. So that I work with. And I really encourage you. So hopefully you can see both ends of that in terms of, hey, I want to be a part of a community that can serve me and that really knows what they're talking about. Because, you know, we've got a Facebook group that's public. If you're not in it, feel free to join. There's 6,000 members. Are there some smart people in there? Absolutely. Are there some knuckleheads in there? Sure. Is it easy to tell the difference between them? No. So be really selective. And even I'm talking about my own community, the big Facebook group, not the one that John's talking about. There's certainly some value in there, but you got to really be selective about there. So A, make sure that you're selective about who you spend your time with and who you allow in your head. The quality and caliber of those people will determine the quality and caliber of your life. And this counts for peers, like what we're talking about and doing here. This counts for customers, employees. These should not be people that, you know, I love John. And if and when he and his family come down to Phoenix, we'd be like, oh my gosh, let's go do dinner, right? Or wherever in his area of town. It's not like, oh crap, I got some customer I got to go out with. Like, and if that's you, we got to change, right? So that's what it looks like on our side. On the other side, be that with your customers, right? If you're selective enough and you charge enough and you're able to focus on giving enough result in their life, you can only work with people, whether it's on the employee side or customer side. Like, I love Christy RVA. She's amazing. And all the employees I have. So I really want to encourage you that it kind of works through and through when you allow whoever you're going to allow into your life, whether it's family, peers, like we're doing here, customers, employees, you've got to just say, I'm only going to allow people that are a fit. And it works kind of both ways. Once you start absorbing all this good vibe, it's easy to kind of create that community in yourself. And then your customers, your employees want to be a part of it. I feel like I'm not communicating that well at all, John. Did that make sense?
It did. Yeah. Yeah. No, what you're saying is yes. I didn't make any sense, but.
Are either of us making sense to the listeners out there? Are we speaking any of the English? Yeah. All right. So real quick before I'll let John end up with any comments he wants to do. If any of you guys want to get together and talk with me about where your company's at, where you'd like it to be, and putting together a plan to get you where you want, that's how I met John. And felt very honored that he allowed me to serve him. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk. As it is now, I'm able to do all these calls. Obviously, they're limited because there's just me. I do them all personally. There is no charge for them. All I ask is that you come committed, resourceful, and committed to grow. So growmycleaningcompany.com/talk. Feel free to go there and book a time for you and I to talk about your businesses, what's working, what's not, where you're at now, where you want to be, why that's important, how to get there. When I get the right folks like John, my favorite part of the day, honored to be able to serve you. All right. I never can remember if Natalie can put that up or not. I guess I'll try and type it in. growmycleaningcompany.com/talk. All right. So let's end, John, with you saying where you're at now, where you want to be. Brag a little bit on your amazing company and let's hear the next goals of what's going to happen next. And we'll have you back like in 6 months or 12 months. You can brag on hitting those.
Sure. So by the end of the year, we want to be over 50,000 in revenue.
And you went from a bottom when you bought it of 7 up to 23. So from 23 to 50, you've already tripled it. Just doubling again, not that big a deal.
No, it really isn't. And it initially it seems like it is, and it's kind of scary, like, wow, that's a lot of money every month. But once it's automated and systems are in place, it makes it so easy to where it kind of gets there on its own, which is awesome. One of the other goals is I would like to put it so much on autopilot that if I want to take a month off and go to Wyoming or something, I can, or go to Phoenix to pick on you in person. And that's one thing I want to say. If people listening, if somebody new signs up, please somebody give Mike a hard time on the call because I'm no longer there to do it.
Yeah, that's true. John's not there to bust my chop. So it's Everyone's nice to me. We can't have that. I'll go. Yeah, I'll lose
control. Please fill that void in Mike's life.
I'm sure I'll find a Canadian to give me a hard time. All right. Awesome. John, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story and bringing a ton of value. Again, if you want to get with me, go to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk. Would love to talk to you about your cleaning business. It's what we do all day, every day. And as long as you're cool like John, I will look forward to talking to you. John, you're the best. We'll see you guys in a couple days.
Thanks for tuning in to today's show. If you're fired up, ready to grow, and want to see if you have what it takes to work with us at Grow My Cleaning Company, here's what I want you to do right now. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk. That's growmycleaningcompany.com/talk to book an appointment to speak with me personally. I'm going to jump on the phone with you to get you crystal clear on where you are now, where you want to be, and how to get you there. Don't walk around in the dark any longer. If you are serious about growing your cleaning company, it's time to finally get the systems in place that you need to grow. We've helped hundreds of owners of cleaning companies not only grow their business and their personal freedom, but give back to their community as well. If that's what you're looking for, head over to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk and book a time to talk with me personally. I can't wait to get to know you and your business.